Amen, bro. Woo! Amen. What a blessing. I've been waiting for that. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. You're probably familiar with 1 Kings chapter number 18. This is where Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal, and they build the altars, and the prophets of Baal, they pray, and they scream, yell, and cry, and Elijah makes fun of them, and they pray all day, and then Elijah gets his turn, and he prays that little prayer, and God sends the fire and consumes the burnt offering and the sacrifice. And earlier in the chapter, Elijah asked the people, said, "You're going to have to make a choice, which one of these gods you're going to choose. Now, we're going to pray, and God answered by fire. Just let him be God." Amen? Now, they are going through a period right here that has been lasting some 3 years, where Elijah prophesied and said that God was not going to allow it to rain. Yeah. Y'all remember that?
He's not going to allow it to rain.
Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself,
but let's look at the scripture. Look at verse number 41. This is after the people made the decision that God is God. And after the fire had failed, in verse number 41,
the Bible said, "Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of," I love this next word, "abundance of rain."
So Ahab went up
to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up on the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." And he went up and looked, and he said, "There is nothing." And he said, that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel.
Now take your Bible and go to 2
Kings chapter number 3. 2 Kings chapter number 3 and verse number 16. 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 16. Tell me when you're there.
"And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this
valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, that the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle." Did I miss something? Thus saith the Lord. Yeah, in verse number 17, "For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand." Anyway, I lost my place here. What I want to talk to you about tonight is this subject: prepare for rain. Prepare
for rain. In
this morning's message, we talked about the problems with wells. And one of the biggest problems, we talked about how they had to clean the well out, then they had to contend for the well, and then they got to enjoy the well, right?
Amen. Amen. Another big problem with wells is drought.
Yeah.
Right. Droughts can come. Have you ever been in
a drought spiritually?
Yeah.
You ever just been through a dry spell where you don't feel nothing, you don't get anything, you pray and you feel like you're dry spell or a drought, and if you're not careful, your well will dry up if you're not very, very careful. Amen? And then what happens in a dry spell or a period of drought? By the way, drought in the Bible is almost always a sign of God's judgment on His people.
Amen. The reason you may be going through a dry spell is
because
God's trying to get you somewhere to recognize
your need of Him in your life, like you did once before He the children of Israel over and over and over. He's driving them to their knees to ask God for help. I believe that's where America is. I believe that's where man, and America's so stupid it can't wake up and see that we need God in this nation again. Amen? We're going
economical drought.
I mean, businesses are falling off. Houses are being foreclosed on every single day.
We're in a drought.
You know what we need? We need rain. They sang the song, "Send the rain, send the rain, send the rain." Well, you know what happens in a drought? If you've ever watched,
I've seen it on the farm where I grew up.
If we go through a long period of no rain,
something happens
to the ground. It gets very hard and it gets very dry. Are y'all with me? And then the rain will come and it'll rain real hard for a short period of time. And because the ground is so hard and the ground is so dry, the rain just runs off. You can take a shovel
out there 30 minutes after the rain,
stick it in the ground, you break it, it's damp.
That's right. That's right.
The soil
got
no nutrition from it. The rain did come, but the ground was so hard. It came from, was it Moab? It came from somewhere else. Edom. I lost my whole train of thought on that 2 Kings thing. It just went out of my head. Anyway, God did send the water that they needed, but in both places there was a word
or a thought that they had to do
something first in order to prepare for that rain. Amen. He said, make the valley full of ditches. You know what that meant? That means something had to be dug in the ground. Something had to be. You know what they did? They made the valley full of ditches so that the water would rest in the dishes and in the ditches, and they would be able to retain that water.
Yeah, and it wouldn't just wash right away.
Amen.
Now, I want you to listen to me carefully tonight. We'll go eat chili and soup or whatever you want to do. But don't you listen to me carefully. What good is it going to do if God
sends that revival that Brother Jason was praying for this morning, like the anything out of it?
It'll just blow you by. That's why service after service after
service, I watch
your countenances, I watch your faces.
Some of you just are not getting it.
Amen.
It'll be hard preaching, but I want you to
get something tonight. You're just not getting it. When Brother Tommy's
shouting and running up and down the aisles, and
people are on this altar weeping
and crying, and you're sitting there like a stone, something's wrong. It's not that God's withholding the rain. It's that you're not prepared to receive the rain.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know that you can get to a place
spiritually, I'm talking about as saved as I am, as saved as Brother Charles is, and God not be able to get to your heart anymore?
Yeah. That's right.
Because you have become hardened.
Yeah, right.
It's like a doctor. Some of you've just been in church. You've been in church too long.
Amen.
You've just been in church too long. You've done this too much. And it doesn't
affect him anymore.
And I'm afraid that's where we are in Christianity. We can preach up a lung. I mean, we can preach heaven high and hell hot, and it just has no effect on anybody.
Some of y'all are too used to me. I get discouraged. I go preach around the country, and I'm talking about results. Not because I'm somebody. Don't get ready to God. I'm
hurt. Come back here and preach to my church, the people that ought to love me more than the people that I go somewhere else to. I think I'm not getting on to it.
I think it's normal. You get that way in marriage. You get that way in a relationship. You get that way on a job. You remember when you was excited about that job you drive about every day now?
Come on, help me a little bit. Get somewhere. Remember when you was excited about that thing?
Remember when
you was excited about marrying that woman you can't stand the sight of now? Hey, we might get.
What's happened, you've gotten comfortable and you've gotten relaxed in the relationship, and even your relationship
with God, that it doesn't move you anymore. It doesn't excite. Man, there was a time in
my marriage, and I've got to be careful
because still is. She can't walk. I love my wife, but over and over, we just get so used to each other, in each other's face all the time, it just gets to be ho-hum. And while we're doing that, our hearts get harder and harder and harder and harder, and we pray for revival, and God says, I have nowhere to put it. Revival is just going to run off. You're not soft
enough to soak it up.
Amen.
Amen.
forgot. And I
went out there to get that sponge, and that sponge had got hard. I thought, well, I put it in this bucket of water, it'll get okay again. It never would get
okay. It's just too
far gone. I'm not saying I don't think God can send revival. I just believe there's some that won't ever receive it. If they've got to a place so full of pride, they're not going to admit it. I've
let myself.
God does. I believe God
loves this church as much as he loves Faith Baptist Church in Roanoke, Alabama.
Amen. I believe God is
concerned about the city of Billerica, Georgia, and Temple, and Carrollton, and Dallas,
and Yorkville.
I believe God's just as concerned
about this place as he is Roanoke, Alabama. Amen. I believe God's just as willing and just as ready to send real Holy Ghost,
old-fashioned, heaven-sent revival. I believe he's just as willing to send it here as he was to send it there, but there must be a
difference between
here and there. I'm not talking about a time zone. I'm talking about a condition of the people. Somebody wanted it. Somebody had a desire. Somebody pleaded. Somebody begged. We need revival.
God knows when we're ready for it.
And God knows when we're not. We can book a week of meeting. We can have camp.
That
don't mean nothing. Don't mean a thing.
We can have service after service where we shout, run the aisle, worship, praise the Lord, have a great time. Church should be more than fun. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy this. I love it more than doing anything else
I do. I love to serve God. I love to preach his word. I get to be more than just fun. We're supposed to be getting something. I wonder if we could stick our spiritual shovel into your spiritual heart. I wonder how deep it would go before it gets dry. Prepare for rain. You may have to make your valley full of ditches so that when God, I don't believe God's, I'm going to be your weatherman tonight. Faith in
my God to tell you that it's going to rain. God's going to send his rain. Some will be little showers like we had this morning. There was a little cloud up over at gym this morning while Brother Greg was out there preaching, and God sent a little rain in that
gym, and five little
boys and girls
got born again. Somebody help me in here tonight. Hey, we'll have little showers like that. Hey, faithful, and we pray and we want it bad enough, he may send us a heavenly gully washer. I'm talking, but we got
to
be ready for it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's going to be like some of these in this crowd. I'll watch them week after week. Watch the Spirit of God move in here. And start to rain.
Yeah.
Amen. You understand what I'm talking about when I say it starts to rain. God starts moving. God starts showering us with his blessing.
Amen.
And they say,
people that I know, their testimony, I remember when they were saved. I remember when they sat in church and wept like a baby. I remember when they came to the altar and prayed. I remember when
they
and now they just sit there.
Amen. Amen.
I've seen it all my life. All my life. I've watched this up in a Baptist
church.
How we do. Amen. It's sad when the younger people are more excited than the older people. And I know y'all get tired of hearing me say it, but it is. It's not right. We've been blessed more than they have.
Yeah, right. We've seen more prayer answered than they have. They just said, therefore I praise thee the more.
Yeah,
the more we see God do, the more we all shout about it.
Amen.
Hey, listen, you ought to just
pray, God, don't let me get to the
place where the Spirit of God no longer moves me.
Amen.
Don't let me get to the place where
the preaching no longer affects me.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, Charles has been there. I know Brother Freddie's been there. And I know Brother Acton.
Where you feel
like, what am I doing?
Amen.
I could be at home watching a football game. And get just about as much done.
Amen.
You ever feel like that when you preach? Brother Atkins, did you ever, all those years of pastoring, did you ever get to that? Get me wrong. I'm just saying there's a condition. The Lord's still blessing and the Lord's still moving, but we're not receiving it. We're getting it on the surface. Now, I grew up with this all my life, so I know what I'm talking about. I'm an authority. And going, hugging one another's necks Wednesday night. And I'm not making fun, I'm being honest. I've watched this all my life. Wednesday night, I'm talking about have a great meeting. And you think, man, this is going to change our church forever. Don't change nothing. Plus, it was just on the surface. Felt like that? You ever been in a good meeting? You come in discouraged, depressed, down, ready to throw in the towel. We preach a great message, or the Holy Spirit moves, or a song, something hits your heart, and you get on the altar and you weep and you cry and you think, "Hallelujah, I'm glad I came to church." But tomorrow you feel the same way you did before that great service. I don't think God intends it to be that way.
Amen. I think when God helps you, you get some help.
Yeah. The problem is, we're only getting it about that. Yeah. We're only getting it about that. All it did was get to some surface, and the leaves absorbed a little bit of water, but it didn't get all the way down into the roots. Hey, we need something. We need something to get down into the root of the thing. Hey, y'all, listen to me. The axe laid to the root. It needs to go all the way down where God intends for it to go. And when it gets to where God intends for it to go, it will make a difference in your life.
I use Stephanie Speck as an example all the time, and I hadn't here in a while. But she was 20-something years old and had prayed for a husband for years and years and years. And God just wouldn't send her one, probably because she looked like a 12-year-old, literally. But we went on a trip where we met Brother Freddie and his shepherd. I think it's before y'all were even married, wasn't it, Brother Freddie? We went to New York City. We stayed at a YMCA camp, I believe it was, in Riverdale, New Jersey.
And had revival meetings.
In that meeting, this was Stephanie's senior trip. Her mother made her go. She had no choice. She was made to go on that trip, kicking and screaming. She wanted to go to Panama City with her friend. And her mama said, "No, you're going on this trip."
Yeah, bro. Stephanie had been just like a lot of people in my church. She'd come to the altar and pray, but had seen no real significant change. Something happened on that trip. Yeah. Something happened on that trip. In one of those services under that pavilion thing.
Out there at that camp, brother. With a lot of others, she hit that altar. But something was different this time. It got past the surface this time. It didn't stay at the altar when she left. It went with
it. It got to the root of the thing. She
never looked back. Thank God. And now she's married to a wonderful man in Rochester, New York, a pastor's son, and serving God and living for God. Hallelujah. Would to God something get to the root of the thing. Amen. I want to see God move. I hope he comes this year. I'd like to have a good revival before he does.
Yeah.
I'd like to get up another load to go. Amen.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a blessing? Roanoke, Alabama, stayed in revival for 4 weeks. It's where Carl used to pastor over there.
Stayed in revival
for 4 weeks. Saw how many helped me, Clint? 148. Is that right? Something like that. Like 148
people got
saved.
Yeah, bro.
You say how many of them you believe really? I don't know if they really read me. Oh, shut up.
That stuff
me raw. I don't know if they really meant it. You say we had 5 saved this morning. How many of them was bus kids? Oh, hush. Did you really get saved? One doubting everybody else's must have. We may be on something right there. I like that. Amen. God's still sending rain. God's people just ain't getting it. Y'all okay? Let me tell you what God. If you won't receive it, he'll give it to somebody that will. He might even give it to somebody that ain't got their doctrine right. My wife worked with a lady for the last 5 years. She goes to one of these world changers churches. Precious, precious woman. Takes a stand for God on her job. Has an excellent spirit about her. Reads her Bible at work. I mean, brother, and she'll worship and lift her hand and give God glory to drop the hat. Yeah, but bless God, she ain't even got the right Bible. But she dug some ditches. Bless her heart, she believed somebody sold her a lie and she bought it, but she really does love God. And he really does bless her. Some people ain't all right with that. I'm just telling you, she ain't a phony. She may be being preached to by a phony, but she's real. Prepare for rain. I'll give you three thoughts. Number one, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart for God to send the rain. Jesus said, this crowd's drawing nigh with me with their mouth. He said, but their heart is far from me. They honor me with their lip, but their heart is far from me. Man looketh on the outward part, but God looketh on the heart. Oh, I can watch you testify in church. How many times God said, phony?
Most of them around here did. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying, God
knows your heart. When I stand to preach, God knows my heart. I stand up here and tell you how bad I really want to help you. God knows whether I really do or not. You hear what's coming out of my mouth. He knows what's in my heart. And if he knows what's in my heart, you can bet your britches he knows what's in your heart. Somebody once said this, and I wrote it down in one of my Bibles. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. What we've got is heart trouble. Amen. It ain't Facebook trouble, it's heart trouble. It ain't gossip trouble, it's heart trouble. Y'all still in the building with me? Amen.
Is your heart right? I like old
Jehu when he come flying up in that chariot. He pull up there. Yeah, the guy, he said, hey man, is your heart right like my heart's right? Is thine
heart right with God? Listen, in verse number 21, Elijah put this thing to them. Hey, they had to make a decision.
And it wasn't a head decision, it was a heart decision. Hey, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And brother, the fire fell.
And people said,
truly, he is God. Hey, man, it is a heart decision.
Amen.
We need to make a decision in our heart instead of our mouth and our head. Decisions made in the head, they don't last very long. Man, it's got to start in the heart. How long has it been since your heart been broke? I don't mean by a loved one. I don't mean by a friend.
I mean by the
Holy Spirit of God. The Bible talks about a broken heart. If we're not careful, we'll harden our hearts and nothing can affect us anymore. And you know what will cause it to harden? Years in the ministry. Years in the church. Trial after trial. Split after split. Thank God. We had teenagers standing up in the back of the church screaming at the deacons. You're a liar. I'll never forget as long as that man, that thing affected me.
When people hurt you and you allow that bitterness to linger, what it's doing is it's hardening your heart. Y'all all right? I ain't going to let that stuff. Or I'm going to do my best not to. I'm human just like anybody else. But those troubles come and those trials come. And year after year after year, you just harden yourself. And God wants to bless you, but that heart's just so hard that he can't get nothing to settle in, sink in, absorb. But we're not getting it. It's going in one ear and out the other and bypassing the heart somehow. It's going to start right here. Amen. It's going to start right here personally, and it's going to start right here corporately. Yeah. It's going to start in our hearts. Amen. Brother Jason, you prayed for it this morning. I want to see it too. Yeah. Yeah. I want to see it too. I wouldn't be upset if Bruce Swofford got the credit for that. I wouldn't be upset if Brother Jeff Byrd got the credit for that. Amen. You just gotta want it. Amen. You just gotta want it. Amen. Last time you prayed and asked God to. Forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. They that sow with fear shall reap joy. I know I'm bunching a bunch. I know it's kind of a sobering thought, but when are you going to get it? I don't believe we're in a, I believe America's in a drought. I don't believe our church is. I believe it's raining but running off. We have. Where you don't have to put on.
That's right.
If you're down, we want to pray with you.
Yes,
you ain't got to fake it.
Amen.
Around here.
Amen.
You ain't got to be super spiritual, Superman, S yes, on your shirt. It's deeper than this. Prepare our hearts so God can send the rain. We grew a garden growing up every year, two gardens, one on each side of the yard.
Three gardens, two on one side, one on the bed.
Somebody said, Brother Eddie, why don't
you plant a garden for a puppy right down the street? When I come and I have to, I know that.
Amen.
Amen. My job was picking up rocks. Every year, just because the ground had been broken before, didn't mean it didn't need broken.
Laying off rows. You know what? That old ground would be so hard.
You could walk on it and not sink in, Brother Brad.
You know why? Because it had been sitting there unattended for a year.
Yeah.
It had been sitting there all those months, and the rain had fell on it, and the heat had dried it, and it just got hard and brittle. But boy, you
see them old plows, them old disc hairs hit that dirt.
And boy, it'd start turning that dirt. It'd be red on top, and it'd start churning up, and that old dirt start getting darker and softer. Had to be removed. Our garden grew, we grew rocks. Because I picked up every rock every year, and when we planted again, there'd be more rocks.
Amen.
I'm not a scientist, but I don't understand that.
Somebody,
slipped in while I wasn't looking and put the rocks back. Amen. Just because, hey, you remember how broken you were when you got saved? Do you remember how tore up your heart was? How emotional you were? How real that was? If you don't remember, maybe you ought to get in tonight. In here one of these services and tear several one up. I mean, just drop the plow. Drop. Hey, if you refuse it, you can. Ain't going to force it on you. I've watched this crowd so much that I know you like I know the back of my hand. And I see God moving in a service, and I'm steadily watching. Not because I want to be critical. I'm concerned. You can't tell me we can hear the same song, hear the same message, and it affect him one way and not affect me at all. If Brother Tommy can get a blessing out of it, I can get a blessing out of it. If Brother Charles can get a blessing out of it, you can get a blessing out of it. The difference is they're coming in with somewhere for God to put it. They're coming in with a heart that's not so hard that it can't absorb. They don't feel it. Why come he feels it and I don't feel it? You're hard. You need to pray and ask God to help you to get that heart tender and soft again. We need to prepare our heart for the rain. Secondly, we need to prepare our home for the rain. We need to prepare our home for the rain. This ain't going to be something, brother, they'd probably preach on the road. This is not a big evangelistic thing. This is not a, this is got to prepare our home. Just as though my granddaddy took the tractor and dropped the disc hairs in the ground. And then the turning plow, and dropped that plow, cultivator, dropped that thing in the ground and started preparing that garden and breaking up that ground and dropping the seeds and fertilizer. It took a lot of work.
Amen.
You know what we do? We grow hard toward each other. I'm talking about husbands and wives now.
We grow
hard to each other.
The longer we're married,
we just get used to it. You don't hardly speak anymore. When you do, it ain't good.
And you just accept that this is the way it's going to be. If you ignore it, it won't go away. It will get worse. God can't provide this church. God can't send rain on this church when we won't receive it at home.
Amen.
You understand that?
Let me just say that again. Some of y'all just ain't getting it. God's not going to send a blessing on the church as a whole when we won't accept it at home.
Amen. I tell you why God don't bless you when you get here.
Because you fought all the way here.
Yeah.
I tell you why your children don't take this thing seriously. Because they see you this way at church and see you totally different at home.
Amen.
They hear you testifying and praising God on Sunday, hear you cussing like a sailor on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm tired of marriage. I'm tired of divorce. I hate it.
Amen.
And I guarantee you the children hate it worse.
Amen.
We need to prepare our homes.
Amen.
Families get in a rut. If you're not careful, you'll eat the same thing on Monday. Same thing on Tuesday. Same thing on Wednesday. And it don't never change. You just get in a rut. It's 1,000 degrees in here, Brother Tom. You just get in a rut.
Nothing affects
you. It's not exciting anymore. I had a man tell me a while back, he said, "Preacher, I hate to say this, I know it's bad." He said, "But I dread getting off every day." You won't be married long. You won't be married long. You get to the point where you think it's your wife's duty to hear how bad your day was every afternoon and vice versa. You better quit ignoring it. Make sure that relationship is right with your wife.
Prepare your home for the rain. Spiritually. You can't be right with God if you ain't right with each other. Okay? You can't be right with God if you ain't right with each other. Don't come here and talk
all this good stuff. I know you are. Don't come in here bragging about all that when you treat each other like dirt at home. Amen. You didn't get her that way. I guarantee you didn't get her that way. No, you wooed her.
You bought flowers.
Car doors. Now she can't even get her leg in. You think just because you got a marriage license and you've had so many anniversaries, it ain't just going to never change. You got her now. No, she can leave. And she can't. Somebody who will woo her again. I know a lot of men don't deserve a wife. I'm one of them. So are most of you. I mean, I hate to, ladies, y'all better say amen. Most men, we're just sorry. This is our nature. It's why God had to give you us to help us. It's why God had to give you to us to help us. Amen. God made him a help me. Amen. You know what your job is, ladies? Help him be what he's supposed to be. You're supposed to complete him. Amen.
Yes,
we all right?
Amen.
That relationship
between the husband and wife, your kids are bitter because y'all hate one another. Don't expect your kids to stay in church. I've heard it over and over and over. Right back there
in my office, Brother Eddie, you don't understand. They're not the same at home as they are here.
If I've heard it once, I promise you I've heard it 5 times.
Through the years we had a school, counseling with them kids and dealing with them kids. Them kids come to school and act out and act foolishly. And a lot of times it was a result of what they was living in at the house. Hey, we want God to send the rain. We better make sure our heart's prepared.
Yeah.
We better make sure our home's prepared. Our relationship with our spouse. What about the children? The children mess up. Now watch me.
The children mess up. They do something bad to the little brother or the little sister, and you make them go kiss and hug and apologize. Is that too good for you?
Is that too high up on the list for you? Because you've reached a
certain age and you're an adult now?
Does that mean we get to skip that somewhere? Sometimes I'd like to take some of you church members and bash your heads together. Kiss and make up? All right. My mom used to make me kiss my sister. I hated it then. I don't mind it now. For some reason. I'd kiss her and I'd say, don't you tell nobody. Y'all all right? Hey, if we're leading our kids in the wrong direction, we know them an apology.
Amen.
They need to hear, hey, son, daddy was wrong. Daddy was wrong. Daddy made a mistake. Daddy hadn't been what
he ought to be, but daddy's going to try to get right.
Do right. Son, I'm sorry if I. Son, I'm sorry if I've gave you the wrong impression of what a Christian ought to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm talking about this setting up for
now. It's setting up for a rain that'll do some good. We get our hearts right, and we get our homes right. But if Katie bar the door, there ain't no telling what God might do. We might see every kid on them buses' parents get saved. That'll never happen. Not with that attitude.
Man, I'd like to be like Brother Greg said, when the Lord comes back, I'd
like to be rolling, son.
Amen. Not
sitting around on our haunches wondering if God's ever going to do it.
Amen.
Wondering if we're ever going to do anything again.
Amen. God's going, man, I got all this rain. I want to
send. I've got all this blessing. I want to drop on my people, but they're not ready to receive them.
Somebody needs to make the valley full of ditches. Somebody needs to prepare the heart and prepare the home for God to move and work again. Home may just need cleaning. Amen. Some stuff may need to come off the wall. Some stuff may need to get from the TV. And you don't feel the touch of God, to hear the voice of God, it ain't God's fault. God. Do we stop listening? Let's prepare our hearts. Let's prepare our home. And then lastly, and we'll go eat. Let's make sure the house of God is prepared. I don't want that on me. I don't want to get in judgment seat of Christ and hear him say, I was going to do this, but you. If we want God to do something, we better make sure. We need to pray. You may need to take your Facebook down. Amen. Or what do you call it? Unfriend them? Defriend them? Excommunicate them? Blacklist them? Whatever. Some of y'all reading stuff you don't need to know. It, you know, the less I know about you, the easier it is to think highly of you. Does that make sense? The less I know about you, the easier it is to think highly of you. That's why I don't let people tell me a lot of junk. Brother Eddie, you know what I read on Facebook? La, 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 la. I don't want to know. Especially if it's about me. Please, keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. I want to pull a Tim. Out again, Eddie. Brother. Listen.
We ought to prepare the house of God. Listen, we must be in unity. One mind,
one accord. Y'all all right? I want us to yoke up together.
We've got some good things coming this year. We've got these things
playing with these parents. I'm excited. We're going to do this trunk or treat thing again. That thing is awesome.
Yeah.
4,000 or 5,000. Saved. One of their children, Madison, they're testing her for leukemia. She sat up there with a broken heart. You know where we met them? You know where we met them? I'm telling you, man. God wants to do something. I'm not going to chance losing it over fussing with you. I'm not going to let people doing stupid stuff rob me of getting a blessing from God. Amen. You say, but I'm human. I am too. That's why you need help. That's why you need the Lord's help. Some people are harder to love than others. Say amen right there. Some people are harder to put up with others. You know what you need to pray for? Grace.
God help me, Lord. I want to love that person. I want to be good to that person. But Lord, they make it so
difficult. Prayed that prayer, I do. Man, I know it ain't right when I want to choke somebody's eyeball.
And sometimes I do. Just this past week, I was with some people, and I
the same time, I still got to love them. I got a phone call this week, and I
still don't understand. I still don't understand. And I almost wanted to hang up. The Lord said,
they're not right in the head. And you need to understand that, and you need to be a little more compassionate. I'm not making fun, I'm being honest. And you know what I did? Instead of hanging up, I said, wait. Her job, she was raised in a Southern Baptist preacher's home.
She is now a professed atheist. Katie said, how could she be an atheist and being raised by a Southern Baptist preacher? That's easy. She's seen enough junk to convince her this ain't real. This ain't real. She said she hated growing up
because they had to move every year or two. Katie said, what? She said, my daddy's been at the same church for almost 19 years. That girl couldn't hardly believe it. Amen.
We need to make sure the house of God is prepared. We need to make sure we're right with God, that our heart's right, our home's right. We need to make
sure we're in unity, that we're lined up together. One of our ladies asked me tonight. I was coming in. She told me a couple weeks ago she had an idea, and
I was busy at a council meeting, and she was supposed to call,
and she never did. And I told her tonight when I come in, I said, hey, I wanted to hear that idea. And she started explaining. I said, I love it.
She said, you want to take this and read about it?
I said, don't have to. That's something that excites you.
And there's nothing more morally, scripturally wrong with it. And it'll help unite some of our people. I'm behind you 100%.
Yes. Y'all okay? Yes. I love people who want to do something. Yes. Hey, man, you go to these churches, it's got to go through a committee before anybody can do something. Brother Terry and Miss Stacy was going. Stupid. We ought to be in unity. Hey,
amen.
Don't think about Joe's past.
Amen.
Think about what he just got up and told us.
Amen.
Cross his arm and go, I believe it when I see it. You just did.
Amen.
I'm behind him 100%. I'm going to help him.
Yeah,
but what if he messes up? Lose the attitude.
Maybe he won't. We
pray for him like we ought to. I believe with the spirit and attitude he's got, I believe he's going to be some more kind of. All right. We got to. I pick ones I like, and I eat them. There's some on there I don't like. I don't stand there and go, I'll
never come here
again because they got this flavor cat on the menu. No, I just leave it in the bowl. Y'all okay? Turn your nose up because you don't like the way somebody's doing something. Pray for them. Say, God, I wouldn't do it that way, but help them.
Amen.
You all right?
Amen.
Hey, the restaurant in LaGrange,
Big Chinese restaurant in LaGrange, Georgia. Front page on their paper. Health inspector came in. They found 85 frozen cats in their freezer. I'm helping you, ain't I? Well, that's pretty good. I've burnt y'all, hadn't I?
Miss Faulkner was talking to Miss Linda of Florida Church, and she said, I know which city I need to go. This bunch around here, it might not hear me. Hey, they can tell. I'm going to Louisiana
to preach. Bugs. I mean, sure enough, I'm not cockroach, but crawled dead. It just looked like a big old cockroach. Amen. I tried it myself. Amen. Are you ready for rain? Could the Lord send a great revival tomorrow? Could he do it? Would we be ready to receive it? We could be. You know what? It don't take about that long. You just get on this altar before God. Amen. You used to say, Brother Earl, Earl Hughes, not Partain, Brother Earl Hughes. He used to
say, people ask me, they say, Brother Earl, what if we could take it to a big screen for the whole world to see? Everything inside your heart. He said, give me about 5 inches of anything up there you want.
Amen.
You know what he's saying, though?
I can get right with God.
Yeah.
I can get that slate wiped clean.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't want to go through a drought. I want to spend this year drawing water from the well. Amen. I want to see it get good. I want to see it get real good. Before it can, God's got to have a place to put it. Our hearts, our homes, and His house. Those three major areas. Is your heart prepared for rain? Let's stand to our feet tonight. Come, Brother Todd.